Gospel according to St. Matthew, the Lord delivers to his holy apostles and disciples, those who follow them, the prayer, which is, Our Father which art in the heavens, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this prayer was given early on. Now we have, much later in the Gospel, the further Lord's Prayer was given in chapter 6. And in chapter 18, we have this remarkable instruction, which I think explains the deepest meaning of the Lord's Prayer. And it begins, that said, and Peter came to him with a question, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. And clearly what he means is, as often as he sins, so do you forgive, beyond your ability to count. And Jesus went on, he said, I do not say to you up to seven, but up to, therefore the kingdom of, the Savior says, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he began to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents, but he was not able to pay. And his master commanded him that he be sold, and his wife and children, all that he had, and that payment be made. And therefore the servant fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And then the master of that servant was moved with compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. And we know the second part of the story is that the servant went out, and there was one among his fellow servants who owed him a small amount of money, and he demanded that it be paid back. And when it wasn't paid back, the servant had him cast into heaven. And so, when his fellow servants saw it, and they grieved at this. And they came and told their master all that had been done. And the master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had compassion on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. And so what we have here, we have first the kingdom of God. And so it is that God created all of the creation was for the purpose of creating the kingdom of God. And man created in his image and likeness is at the center of God's purpose. And so our destiny is to be gathered into the heavenly kingdom. And the heavenly kingdom on this earth is a spiritual community of those who love God, who are gathered together by the power of the Holy Spirit and become, as it were, one flesh in Christ and one body. And so it is that we become the body of Christ, and through us, then, through faithfulness, the uncreated energies of God radiate forth and establish his kingdom. And so it is, even as the rays of the sun nurture all the plants and living things, and so does the light of Christ that shines through those who are faithful to Him, bring life and renewal to all those who surround us. And this, of course, is the image of the kingdom of God in this fallen world that Christ has come to establish, to raise us up. And it turns out that the way He brings us into His kingdom is through the mystery of forgiveness. We all know, we all know our own past. And unless somehow or other our mind, we've lost our minds and our memories, we know that there is sin and pride and excessive passion and unkindness and pettiness and so on, deeply rooted within us. We know this. And we can remember it. So what if our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, as He comes to us and He offers us freedom? And what is required? That we bow down before Him and say, Lord, have mercy upon me. Forgive me. And what is forgiveness? Release me from the consequences of my sin. Set me free. Allow me to live in Your presence, to partake of Your holy mysteries. Partake, as it is in the Lord's Prayer, of the daily bread, which is, the bread is really, it symbolizes Holy Communion, but it really is life in the body of Christ. Partake of this divine mystery. And what's fascinating about it is if we can sincerely bow down before our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, He sets us free. Now, one thing I've noticed in my own life is that I still remember the sins and the trauma and all of the difficulties. But the difference is they no longer have power over me. And this is true with each and every one of us. They no longer have power over you. If, in fact, on the one hand, you have truly opened your hearts to Christ. And on the other hand, you turn towards your neighbor and you forgive him as Christ has forgiven you. And this is our lifelong task, to forgive, to release people from any of the fault and any of the consequences, to let go of the sins. Now, this would be impossible. We know, we must know people who are grudge holders, right? And they just can't forget things that have happened in the past. And they bring them up. And here they are. Amazingly, they are bound. It's an enslavement to a passion. They are bound by these things. Bound. We were once bound. That's what you have to always remember. We were once bound. And perhaps we still are bound. And we have a long way to go on the path. But we are on the path that leads to true freedom, spiritual freedom. To know God. To know His law. To know His moral law as it is divinely revealed to us. And to live according to it. To know His spiritual law. And to know the love that He has given us. And the compassion He has shown us. We live in this context. Now, we live imperfectly. So, we need to hear about forgiveness. And first, absolutely, we all need to search our souls. And this is why Holy Confession is so important. And many neglect confession. And they don't come to confession unless they're told to come to confession or asked to come to confession. And the reason it's necessary is because it's not as though we walk from one room into the other, or we walk from into the room or the place of darkness into the place of light. and never again have evil thoughts or evil desires. That is not reality. And the fact of the matter, if it were reality, it would lead to a sin that is worse than all the other sins, which is pride. We'd say, oh my gosh, you know, I passed through the gate, the door, I went through the rite of holy baptism, and here I stand, sinless and sin no more. And the thing is, no. We continue to sin, but we have the power of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ given to us to continue to repent. To continue to repent. Why? Because what makes Christ accessible to us? Humility. That's what the Jesus Prayer is, such an amazing thing. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. To recognize our condition and be able to say with our heart, Lord, the King of all, the Lord of the heavenly realm, Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. To bow down. Because what happens is, the reason God allows us to continue to struggle is so that we can achieve humility. So we can come to understand that we are not independent or self-sufficient, but that we are always dependent upon our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. And we are always in the state of needing His love and His grace. And this is why we have this concept of unceasing prayer. So that we continuously, in the depths of our mind, you know, we can still drive our cars, you know, and do our work and so on, and have deep inside of us the prayer going, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy upon me. And as we practice it, it gets deeper, 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 deeper inside of us. And we don't even know what's going on. You know, our mind does have different, so I call them modules. We have a module to do this and a module to do that, you know. We need a prayer module in our mind. It's always active. And then it will continuously draw us into the presence of Christ while we're doing all the other things that we need to do. And the biggest thing, of course, is to repent. To change. To have this renewal and rebirth of consciousness. And to enter into union with God. So that He can make us Christ-like. And that's the whole thing. That He, and there, you know, we have all the icons of saints. And in the past, from time to time, we've been in the church for a long time. We may have been in the presence of living saints. We didn't know who they were, but they were living saints. And they're people who achieved, you might say, Christian maturity. Where they're continuously, on the one hand, in a state of humility, and yet on the other hand, we're in a state of profound love and grace. And bearing the light of Christ in confidence in Him. In confidence. And so, brothers and sisters in Christ our God, on this day, we are called to consider the question of forgiveness. The key, of course, is this parable, or let's say the proof of forgiveness. That's really what it is. The proof of forgiveness is, are we able to absolutely let go of those things that people have done to us, the debts that people have, they have it with us, or the offenses that they've, you know, that they may have brought against us? Can we let go of it? Because it's fascinating, even though God, through his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, has given us absolute freedom from sin and death, if we can't let go of the sins that we feel that have been wrought against us, we are enslaved. It's amazing. Can you imagine? On the one hand, you have the gift of freedom. Look at the fellow who had this huge debt. It was 10,000 something or other talents. Yeah, I mean, it's of course this is a parable, but in real life, it's an enormous debt. And just because he cried out, and said, look, I can't pay it. It's impossible. I can't put it. Have mercy on me. The Lord forgave it. And then what's the message is that we must do likewise. So, our task is to really, we have to have self-knowledge, self-awareness. You have to have self-awareness. Everybody needs to say their prayers in the morning and the evening and spend a little time in looking. You know, do I have grudges? Am I angry with anyone? You know, do I feel that someone owes me something? And we have to pray. Get on our knees and say, Lord, please release me. Release me from the bonds of my own pride and passion that are enslaving me. It isn't amazing that we enslave ourselves. I mean, it's just an amazing concept to enslave oneself. Unnecessarily. We're filled with futility and humiliation. Just total self-destructive inability to release others. To just shed all thought of any of the sins of other people. And to turn our hearts and minds in prayer and in love. To embrace them regardless. To embrace them in kindness and love. Spiritually embrace it. It's complicated, I know, in our world. But let me just say again, holy confession is a necessary and essential ingredient. And the reason is because our Lord, who gave us holy confession, you know, the first thing he did when he appeared to the apostles after the resurrection is he entered the room and he said, peace be unto all. And he breathed upon them and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. The sins which you forgive are forgiven. And the sins which you retain or do not forgive are not forgiven. And the reasons for sins forgiveness not being received is because no repentance, no desire to change. And so he gave this to the apostles and through them to the priesthood. And there's sacramental confession, but there's also natural confession. We have relationships in which we need to turn to one another and say, you know, I'm really sorry about what I said yesterday. I'm totally humiliated by it. It was a terrible thing. And forgive me. And you can't be afraid. When you ask forgiveness, don't be caught up in the idea, what happens if they don't accept my forgiveness? What if they turn their back on me? It's okay. Maybe they're turning their back on you if you ask forgiveness is your reward if you can accept it in humility. So brothers and sisters of Christ, we have confession. And confession is an opportunity to unload these things. When children first come to confession, all kids are, you know, they carry knapsacks filled with books and they're going to school, you know. And sometimes they put games in there. Other things, the knapsack gets really big, and you see these little kids, you know, labored down with these big sacks. And so I say to them, I said, look, you know, all the things that you've done, the things you've said that are wrong, and all, you know, it's like rocks in the sack. And it's very heavy and burdensome. And what I want you to do is take your knapsack and empty it. Put it here in that trash can. Empty it. And feel the lightness of the love of Christ raising you up. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, God, we as a parish must be much more diligent about holy confession. And we need to find time to come. We could come on a Saturday evening. What does he came to Vespers once a month on Saturday? First of all, it would be good to be here in prayer. And second of all, it would be an opportunity to confess one's sins. And be renewed. Because confession is the renewal of baptism. Did you know that? It's the renewal of baptism. Can you believe it? We're baptized once in the font. But it can be renewed with confession. And so, in reality, how are we going to have the wisdom and the humility and the strength of character forgive others if we ourselves have been hiding our sins? Hiding, pushing them down. You know, it's like pushing them down. And we know we need to do this. So brothers and sisters in Christ our God, on this day, let us resolve to forgive everyone that we feel has offended us and to enter into a state of repentance. I know it's difficult. On Tuesday, we start the 2-week fast for the Door Mission of the Mother of God. And it's a struggle. I mean, there's no question it's a struggle. I think it's a struggle. But it's good for us. We have to pick up some weight that reminds us, why do we fast? To give us an opportunity to experience our weakness of will. It's hard to struggle against the passions of thought, the passions of action, the passions of feelings, the passions of words, and the passions of all kinds of things that we do. It's hard to struggle, but it's known and it's been divinely revealed that a little bit of fasting for a period of time makes it possible for us to let go of so many things that trouble us and to be renewed in the grace of the feast. And may we be renewed in a short period of fasting, 2 weeks, in the Dormition, essentially the death and bodily resurrection of our most holy Mother of God.